Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
Yes, brothers. Mi brother them. Mi brother them.
Welcome back.
Mi fanvo them. Mi fanvo them. How you doing?
Welcome back. Oh my goodness.
I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too.
Everyone keeps asking me, have you spoken to Mo? I'm like, no, we've got the podcast. And I'm, you know, I saw him on for the birthday party, of course. But I tried not to talk to you too much. I actively stayed away from you.
Yeah, you know, even myself, you know, I know I say to most where I see you. I just want Kanya and just make sure where I talk to Creole, I talk me experience, I talk and proper Pandy podcast.
Yeah, now you have to do that in English.
So, yeah, no, yeah, even for me, bro, I just wanted to make sure that although we were going to see each other and it's like, yeah, you know, look at all of these photos and this is like what the last 2 weeks of my life has been like, I thought it would be better to just like have the conversation here because I feel like this forum that we have now created is just very open. And I feel like I can actually really get into the details and try and explain it a bit more rather than just glaze over it or send you a video or in a video call, I'm saying, oh yeah, I'm doing this at the moment. So yeah, man. Back.
Nice. Where to begin? I think one thing that made me laugh was whilst you were out there, I had the mindset of, do you know what? Let me leave him to have his fun, and if he wants to share that, which he will do when he's back, he'll call. But I was speaking to AJ, and his view or his take on it was the complete opposite. He's like, damn, I need to check on this ninja, see what he's doing.
So I guess just for context for the listeners and maybe for those who don't know, I recently took a trip to Sierra Leone. It's actually the country where our family are from. It was my first time going. So for me, again, massive, massive journey going there. I didn't go just by myself. I went with my partner as well. So again, massive, massive like journey for her. First time going to somewhere like West Africa. But yeah, went home for 2 weeks and loved it. So this is what we're talking about right now. We're talking about my experience, you know, as a 26-year-old man, 10/26. In February, and now embarking on that journey to rediscover myself, rediscover where I came from. And yeah, I guess we'll just hear more when we get into it. So, oh, sorry, I'll pass back to you, man. I felt like you had something that you wanted to ask.
Well, I was pretty much at the apex of it. So, I had the mindset of, let me leave him to his devices. When he's ready, he'll come back to us. AJ took the polar opposite stance and he was just like, what's good? I want to experience this with you almost, like some sort of pseudo experience of him actually traveling. Which did you prefer? I guess that's where we can begin because what you said was quite poignant of you didn't want, even when you came physically, you didn't want to sit down and talk to us because there's so much detail there which perhaps can't be captured on just your phone or like a video call, as you were saying. I did find it quite interesting that the two brothers took two very different stances or our perspective of your journey,
you know,
perhaps was a little bit
kind of get why. Before I answer the question, I kind of understand why. I guess because you're both my brothers, I know that. And I know, you know, AJ's obviously, at that point, he had already been confirmed, or it had already been confirmed that he was going to be going fairly soon. So I think for him, it was more excitement. Yo, tell me how the lowdown is. Yo, I want to get even more excited because now, you know, somebody who understands it from my own perspective is actually there, rather than people that have, you know, were born there and have lived there their life, or people that are still living there, trying to explain to you, yo, this is what it is. If you hear that from an auntie, uncle, or parent, it's different from when it's your brother that you've grown up with, you know? You have not the same viewpoints, but you have similar experiences. So you understand, okay, if Mo is saying this, I know Mo. So Mo's like explaining it in this way. So you can kind of digest it in that way. So I know, you know, when it came to, you know, AJ definitely wanted to have that conversation. Yo, how is it? Let me know. That made sense. And I think, again, yourself, Oz, at the time, you hadn't had your ticket booked. So for you, it's probably more like he's on his journey. Let him do his do his thing. But now you've got your ticket. Maybe it would have went differently. I don't know. Or maybe that's just your personality, different traits showing.
Yeah, perhaps.
In terms of what I preferred, I think generally, if it was anywhere else I was going, definitely I would prefer if, you know, I'm just kind of left to my own devices and I just get on with it and have that experience. But because of where I went to and just the lifestyle and how things are, I was on my phone anyway. People were calling me anyway, even if I didn't want to be called. I mean, what's up? Yes, bro. How you doing? Yes. So what's up? Okay. So when it came, when I got a phone call and it was, you know, my brother from overseas, it was nice to have a phone call and just be like, yo, it's mad out here, bro. It was nice to have that switch, because the whole time I said, you know, when I go here, I actually don't want to speak English. You know, I want to speak the, and I love the way they call it. They call it the L1, and then the English is the L2. You know, that's the second language. I wanted to go there and speak the L1. Mm. You know, I really wanted to kind of embed myself there. And the last thing I wanted to do was, you know, stick out like a sore thumb even more with my, you know, British accent, talking English, saying this, this, and that. And then they're just like, money.
No, come on, you're there speaking the language with a hardcore English accent. They were like, the money.
Nah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like I'm
baffled. He's deluded. It's the money. Man.
Like, even like something I've noticed coming back and trying to speak Creole, it's a lot more difficult to really kind of get it off against when you're there and you're trying to speak it, because you're hearing it and you're just so accustomed to like the pronunciation and the way people are saying it.
Yes.
When it comes out your mouth, it just fires out and it's accurate. It's on point. People were talking to me. Like, I remember where I was staying, they had the housekeeper, and I had his number. So every time we was leaving and coming back to the place, we'd have to call him to open the gate, especially if it's late, you know, we didn't want to be like knocking. And where I was staying was like, it's called Juba Hill. So it's like, when I say hills, bro, I'm talking like it's extremely steep. This is not a 90 degree angle. This is maybe, let's say, not even 45 degree angle, man. Maybe even, let's say, 38 degree angle hill. We're going straight steep. The gradient is ridiculous. So I had to call the guy to open the gate, but he didn't have my number saved. And I remember there was one time I called him and I'm talking to him like, yes, you just had to do, yeah, can't open the gate. And then he was like, hello? He said, oh, Mamalamin, wow. I've been saying I order Creole, but the way you were talking Creole was just so good. I thought you were somebody else. Like, I was thinking, who's calling my phone? And I was like, nah, it's me, man. And he was like, wow, you've nailed it. You've convinced me. And I'm from here. So I was just like, yeah, nice.
And then he got his tip and he's like, this fucking...
It's a beautiful thing. He's deluded.
Maybe I was caught up in the rat race, man.
I could smell him through the phone.
You're jumping the gun. Now, I understand the whole, you prefer being called or whatnot, but I got to say, my part of that story was I was calling this guy every day. I never called this guy every day. However, perhaps I'll stop.
It was nice out when I was out there. Honestly, it was. And it, even just to know that, oh man, I got so many things to tell these guys when I come back. It just gave me those prompts like, you know what, make sure you remember this moment. So when you come back, you can tell AJ and Oz and just be like, yo,
that's a beautiful
this
thing,
is the
man.
Situation. Yeah. This is what happened.
Do you know, I think I understand that. I have this French friend. Well, you guys know Caesar. Mm. Shout out to the homie Caesar. When he was living in the UK, whenever something happened, that, which was like, I guess, typically British, he would take pictures of it and go and say to me, if I don't take pictures of it, they won't believe me. So I guess I kind of understand what you're saying. But as I was saying with on my side of the whole calling role, the wife goes to me, can you let this guy enjoy his holiday? can you stop blowing up his phone? Like he owes you money or something. So I was like, no, the guy loves it. So I asked Mo, I was like, Mo, what's good? G says I should let you enjoy your holiday and stop calling you so much. Mo was like, yeah, if you wouldn't mind. And I was
like... Do you know why, though? I'll be honest and tell you why. Because, bro, out there, I don't know, maybe it's just the mindset that I had going over there, but the one thing I didn't want to do was just spend money like crazy. You know the saying, stay or act broke, stay rich? Like, I was like, if I'm there, I don't want to just be buying enormous amounts of, you know, data to just be on my phone most of the time. Actually, I want to buy the minimum amount. I don't really want to be on my phone, you know, trying to use data. If I don't have data, what am I on my phone for? To take pictures or make videos. That's literally it. I can't even, you know, do WhatsApp phone calls. And if people have my direct number, they can call me. You know, that's literally it. But for me, it was the main reason for that was... Yeah, man, I just didn't have data. You can get it. It's very easy. And, you know, when you do the conversion, it's actually not expensive. But I didn't want to just be buying heaps and heaps of data because then it was just like, actually, what am I using this for? So, yeah, it was more like when I have the Wi-Fi, if I'm in the house, then this and this. But, yeah, man, I was trying not to stay in the house as much as possible.
Two things, Mo. First, I can kind of relate. It doesn't have the same depth because we grew up with Creo. And then when you went over there, it's almost like it had awoken the beast that was sleeping within you all this time. But a similar thing, when I was living in Spain, my Spanish got to a point where I could fire it off and I had phrases in the chamber where people would be shocked to be like, whoa, your Spanish is so good. But when I came back, a couple of times, like I went to London a couple of weeks ago, and in this random like tiny cafe in like central London, there's this Spanish woman in front of me, and she's like less £1 from buying her coffee, or like no, it's even less than that. It's like 60p. I'm like, here, no pasa nada. As a casual thing that I would say, and she goes, ¿tú hablas español? Went into this whole thing, and I haven't felt that lost in terms of the Spanish language since, like, say, my first year of living there, where I'm just grasping at straws, and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is so wild. Like, we spoke for maybe 5 minutes, and I was getting more and more confident as it went on. Like, I was almost forcing myself, trying to like reach in the nether regions of my mind for those phrases that I would have in the chamber. But yeah, coming to a place where you aren't surrounded by it, like it's breathed around you, it's almost a little bit sad because it's just like, oh damn, I want that connection, I want that,
yeah,
that ability. For sure, I could dig that.
It's like the subconscious mind, right? When you have that subconscious activity, you're not really thinking about it. When you have that around you, you know, it just activates that part in your brain. Professor Xavier type feel. Just connected to Cerebro.
Cerebro.
Just connected to Cerebro when you're see when you all. Have the atmosphere around you. Yeah.
Okay, and then the second thing is, what did it smell like? Like, this is like, if I take it to a very basic level, I've never been to the motherland where my mother and father grew up. They were born and grew up. I've never been. I've been to Gambia. But it can't be the same. It can't be.
But what, the smell?
What did it, like, that's how deep I wanted him to go. What did it smell like, bro?
You know.
Wait, sorry. Can I just pause you there? I still think we're jumping the gun here. Like, that is a beautiful question. But before we even get there, I want to take you further back. I want to know the journey going with your... You had to take vaccine, yellow fever vaccine?
Oh, bro.
Was that the only one you got?
Bruh, you got to take... No, different ones. So they've got things like just typhoid, hepatitis. Yellow fevers.
B.
I don't know, man. I just said, I'm going Sierra Leone. And they've got like the thing that they check there. To be honest... Whether all of that is necessary, I don't know, because, you know, my blood comes from there. Maybe if your blood doesn't, nah. Maybe if your blood doesn't come from there, maybe I don't know, man. I'm not trying to say, I'm not,
this guy's with his pseudoscience.
I'll be real. I'm not going to tell you to risk it, but I took the precautions. You know, I went with Mercedes and her blood's not from there. So I took precautions, even though they're telling me, man, just buy the malaria tablets when you get there. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. I need to do the proper course where they say buy it here, take it like a day or two beforehand. And then when you're traveling, take it every day. But that messed me up. It messed me up so bad. I had to stop taking it.
How do you
every
mean?
Day. Bro, it was just, it would knock you out. So I would take it at night. It would knock you out as soon as you take it. You feel drowsy, like instant drowsy. Like you take, this is really a drug. Instant drowsy. Take it, start seeing your hand doing eight fingers and everything. And then after that, you know, you fall asleep, wake up. I wake up, you know, 4 a.m. in the morning and that's it. You better to run. I just have to go. And it's bad. And it would be like that throughout the day. And it got to a point where I was like...
You'd have diarrhea from...
Yeah, man. And it got to a point... And I'm reading the side effects. And I'm like, hang on a second. This is meant to prevent me from having malaria. And I'm looking at, you know, the symptoms of malaria. And I'm like, this is basically giving me the same symptoms. So I might as well just ride it out. And if it gets me, it gets me. That at least then I'm not inflicting it by choice, you know, to myself. But yeah, man, the whole process for that was a bit annoying. I think traveling in this day and age is really annoying. Having to do this, you know, COVID test, making sure that it's this. And, you know, it's not a direct flight that we took. Currently, BA aren't doing flights to Sierra Leone. I don't know why. I think it was back when Ebola was quite prevalent there, that they just stopped doing flights there. And since then, they've just not put it back up. I think even quite recently, Idris Elba put up a tweet like, you know, British Airways, let's kind of do something to work together to get flights running back again, because actually for people to travel there, it's, you know, quite troublesome. I had to fly to France, chill in France for like 3 hours in the airport, 3-4 hours, and then from Paris go to Lungi Airport. So it's different regulations because you go into the different countries. So for me, it was like COVID test. I need to make sure I've got a 72-hour COVID test for Sierra Leone. But in Paris, it needs to be within 48 hours. And actually, you know, I thought I could be slick and just use one test. But then, you know, as I'm uncovering, oh, man, I needed to end up buying another test, which was like a lateral flow. And then I needed a PCR. And all of this is just like money that I'm spending. And I'm like, I'm not even there. And I've already spent like £200-300. What's going on? The malaria tablets, bro, buying them here was £70.
Oof.
I felt that. That was the day before I was going. And I'm like, this is not, I didn't budget for this. Actually, this isn't what I want to spend my money on. You're telling me I have to take this and this is all you got. But it is what it is, man. I think that was, you know, and then you pay for like the yellow fever and they're like, it's high risk over there. So you have to get it. And if you don't get it, you know, this is what the nurse was saying to me when I went to go get the yellow fever. She was like, you know, I don't know what it's like in Sierra Leone, but definitely
in Bongo Bongo land.
wait. Definitely Nigeria. If you go there and you don't have it, I've had it where they've sent people back. And I'm like, bruh, I'm not doing all of these crazy flights paying for all of this stuff for me to arrive there. And they say, where's your yellow fever card? You don't have it? Safe. For me, I was just like, I'm not taking that risk, man. Let me just pay for this stuff. But it's just, it's extortionate. It's expensive. And you know what? They don't even ask for that. They don't care. You pay. Honestly, I've traveled, not a lot, but I've traveled enough to know all this stuff you pay for, it's like random checks if they feel like, oh, let's check if this person has done their COVID test. Really, they're not checking. And I'm talking about, you know, leaving the UK, entering, maybe France was a bit more like vigilant, but definitely leaving the UK, like they hardly checked the documents, man. They didn't check everything. And there's two people, they maybe checked one and they were like, cool, next. So that for me was a bit frustrating, but I know that it's like, I'd rather just do it than have to deal with the pain or, you know, the ambiguity of something else might occur or something else might happen. So I guess just to go on to the journey, that was a bit of a headache, but actually the flight there was fine.
How long was the flight?
So to Paris, I think it was 2 hours. And then from there, it was 6 hours from Paris to Lungi Airport. And it's quite interesting, you know, people think that, well, I had this idea that, okay, I'm flying in and I'm going to fly straight to Freetown. Because in my mind, it's like, well, all the airports are in the cities. And that's just not the case. The airport is actually on an island.
do you mean an island separate from Sierra Leone, the mainland?
It's separate from the mainland. It's on an island. There is a road that you can use to drive, but it's long. And we arrived at night. So once we had arrived, that was like a whole nother ball game. You know, I've arrived. I've already started feeling the pressure. Like, okay.
So when you opened when the plane doors were opened and you were stepping out, what did it smell like?
Brother.
Okay, now we've got the smell. Bring it back. Now we've got the smell.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
Actually, it smelled quite fresh. It smelled fresh, but it smelled like humid fresh.
Mm.
Like, imagine you've been in a forest and it's like really warm, thick air. So it just smelled very like natural fresh. It didn't smell bad. There was not like, plane doors didn't open. I'm like, oh my God, what's this funky smell? It wasn't like that at all. You know, I don't know, maybe...
Because I heard it's like that.
No, man, I don't know what people's beef is with this, or maybe they have this idea, oh, it's Africa because that must have a strong smell. Nah, bro. Like, smelled better than coming here. Definitely. It smelled... There was not a strong, distinctive smell, which made me think, what's that smell? Actually, it was like, wow. I'm home. It was that kind of smell. You know,
that sounds biased.
Maybe it is biased, but
you should ask your partner.
But yeah, no, but I don't think.
Yeah, yeah, sure. It's stunk. You know, they told me it was gonna stink, but I wasn't prepared for the smell.
Nah, man. I think she probably would say the same, man. She's definitely a nature bug. So I don't know. I like the smell of like nature. I'm not talking about, you know, the smell of mud. I'm talking about just nature, trees. Like, actually, the air felt quite clean. Cleaner than London, then.
Well, that's no question. The amount of cars.
Yeah, not too literally difficult.
Yeah, definitely cleaner than London. But this is what I'm. This is the airport, though. It's very different from the city. Very different from the city.
You said you got there at nighttime. Did you get hit with a wall of heat? Because that's something I experienced in Gambia. You open up, and I can kind of relate with this fresh scent. Unexplainable, if I'm honest. It's not something that's like, oh, it's one way or the other. I was just like, oh, wow, this is... To me, well, first, my first thoughts, when it was me and Mum who went, when we arrived, it was like 1 o'clock, just after midday. So we got there, and it was literally, you could... There's this sheet of air conditioning from the from the aeroplane. And you literally go through like some portals. Like, just the heat that hits you, man. I was like, okay, cool. I'm blacker now. This is okay. I can dig it.
I don't know. I think it's it's different. One thing that definitely shocked me was how windy it was. Mm. Like, it's hot. Don't get me wrong. You're in West Africa. You know, where you are in the earth, it's going to be warm. You know, I think it was around 28, 29 degrees.
Oof.
And it was evening, but there was an evening breeze. You know, it's a small, again, you're landing on an island, you're surrounded by the ocean. So I think that maybe is where like the neutral fresh smell was coming from. And also, that's also, I think, where the breeze was coming from. You know, it's in a very good location. Like, when you're in the country, it's not, I've been places where it's hot, and the heat doesn't move. But if it's hot there, it's different because the wind still blows, you know? If you're in the car and you go in, like, I didn't have AC on in the car. I didn't need AC on in the car. In fact, even in the room, I didn't have AC on 24/7. Didn't need it. It's cool enough for that, you know? Where it's kind of manageable, you can bear it. But yeah, definitely coming out the plane, again, you know it's somewhere hot, but I anticipated it to be a lot warmer, a lot hotter. When I had got out, it was like, yeah, this is warm, but I don't feel like I immediately need to start applying sun cream, or, you know, I'm going to have...
Did you take sunscreen?
No, I did. I personally didn't, but that's just because they don't do that over there. And remember, I'm trying to blend in.
You're going smelling of sun cream.
Remember, I'm trying to blend in. But yeah, I think
I'm willing to risk cancer.
Yeah, and it's, you know, standard protocol. You know, you jump out the plane. They have like this the bus that comes and takes all the passengers from the plane to, you know, where the actual airport building is. And it's not a huge airport, bro. It's actually quite small. They don't actually have planes that stay there overnight. All the flights that go there go back, and they actually stay in Guinea. Yeah. And that was an experience on the flight back. I realized, like, oh, because I checked on the schedule, and it's like, oh, we make a stop in Guinea, but it doesn't say it's a stop. Like, what does that mean? So we went, when we're flying back, we flew from Lungi Airport to Guinea, and then people got off the plane, and then people came and cleaned the plane whilst we're still on the plane, and then people came on the plane. So the trip, how it works is, it's, for example, if I was coming from here going to Guinea, I would go from here to Paris to Freetown, to Lungi, sorry, Sierra Leone, and then from Sierra Leone to Guinea. So when they make that trip back, that's where they make that stop, change their staff, the people that were sleeping there then jump on this flight, the people that were on that flight jump off, and then they stay the night there. I guess it's just they have the facilities there to kind of facilitate that, I guess. Just facilitate them staying. So it's a small airport. It's not huge. But yeah, getting inside was just like, okay, I know that I've got somebody who's going to have to go and make sure they get their visa sorted. And, you know, we have to just make sure we just navigate through this. Actually, I've not been here before. She's going to have loads of questions. I don't have answers to those questions. I'm going to have to try and speak to these people and act like I'm from here. I've been here before. Like, this is standard protocol for me. But actually, I have no idea what I'm doing. So even from that moment, I was like, turn on the Creo, start going in, start just trying to make it seem like, yeah, I know where I'm going. But I don't even know. Like, it's not clear. They don't tell you, walk here. This is where you need to go. Walk here. This is where you just, when you enter the airport, it's like, cool. Go through and do your thing. And in that situation, you have a lot of people that want to help you. But of course, in that situation where they want to help you, they're expecting some help back. So I was just, again, trying to avoid that. It was a long, long, long journey. So arriving late, just wanted to kind of get it out of the way. Let's just finish this off. Come out. Again, a bit annoying. You have to then have a test when you're there, a COVID test. That was an interesting experience. That's the quickest test I've ever had. They put that up my nose so fast and out, and it was just like, cool. But it was actually, speaking to the guys that were doing the test, they're like, yeah, you know, we're actually just graduated university students, so this is what we're trying to do, just some volunteering, and like, we get some money here. Then he opened the drawer and he's like, you know, we're accepting donations. And I was just like, damn. Donations everywhere, man.
It starts from the beginning.
From the jump, bro. From the jump. Like, the one thing, I've been to places, right? For example, Thailand. There's loads of people like trying to do bribes everywhere you go, right? But the one thing, you know, I had heard that might be the case when I arrived at the airport. But actually, if you just say no to people, and this was my whole experience whilst I was there, if you say no, like, they're cool. They're not like, oh. But they're not like, please, 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 and like try follow you. If you just say, no, I don't have it, they'll just be like, all right, cool. Thank you. So it's like, it's no ill will, actually. To deal with that is light. It's very light. So yeah, man, finally after that, it was kind of awkward because people were like, oh, as soon as I came out and got the bags, like, oh, someone's coming and they're looking for you. And in my head, I was like, that sounds like a trap. That sounds like a trap. You guys have already tried to take up my suitcases and say, let me carry this, let me do that. And then now you're telling me someone's looking for me outside and you want me to leave my suitcases to go outside to get that person? Nah, I'm not doing that. And then eventually after I had taken all the tests and everything was sorted, this guy who said, you know, someone's looking for you, came back in again and he had like a printed photo of me. And I was like, what? Where'd you get this?
you were there over defensive.
Yeah, this guy's just trying to help. And it turns out that one of the cousins had come and was there like the whole day. They didn't know that I was arriving late. They weren't allowed in, again, COVID protocol. So he had a picture printed out and gave it to one of the guys who could come in just to be like, yo, this is the person. So eventually linked up with him. And then, yeah, man, it was the ferry trip from the Lungi Island to actually Aberdeen. That's where, you know, the dock is in Freetown. A beautiful place. But that, I'll be honest, that as like an entry to the country, it was an interesting experience. You know, you kind of got the hecticness of the airport. You're not really knowing where you need to go. And then after all of that, you just come to this point where it's so calming and you're just on this sea coach. Again, there's multiple ways you can get to the mainland, but taking the sea coach, that's the only kind of thing that was that I thought was good to go with at that time. And yeah, man, it was nice. It was quite compact, and it was already, I started to feel that hospitality of, oh yeah, these are my people, you know, came on and they actually had somebody who was like announcing, this is the sea coach and this is how it's going to be. If you have any questions, this is it's going to be, you know, X amount of time. I think it's like a 20-30 minute ride. And they had Wi-Fi and everything. And it was just like, yeah, you know, very like hospitable, you know, the hospitality was really, really nice. And I really appreciated that as like an entry to the country. But boy, them waves. I think the Atlantic Ocean, man, I was feeling seasick. I've never felt seasick before, but I was feeling seasick. And I was just like, okay, there's some sharks in these waters. There's definitely some sharks in these waters. This is not the type of place the guy's talking about life jackets. I'm just like, please, let's not let anything happen to this sea coach. But yeah, man, eventually then you get there and wow, what an entry. I think it was Friday night we arrived. So we get picked up from there. One of the uncle comes and he's, you know, full army attire, head to toe, standing there. I'm just like, damn, this is it. I was like, this is it. I'm back. Yeah. And then, you know, from there, the drive to where I was staying, you drive and they call it Beach Road over there. And it's so beautiful, man, especially at nighttime. That for me was like mind blowing. My idea of, you know, I'm going to West Africa. It's meant to be a third world country. There's been civil war there. You know, not very, very long ago. You know, there's the economy's not that great. There's poverty. I have all of these things in my mind, you know. All those silly Oxfam adverts that I'd seen growing up where they've got the flies on the kid's face. I'm thinking, damn, bro. The strip, I was like, oh my God, is this Vegas or something? Like, what? Bright lights, like bar after bar after restaurant after bar, and you're just driving and it just looks beautiful because it's all on the beach. Mm-hmm. That for me was just like, wow, this place looks like the party is just going on. Yeah, so that was the first day for me anyway. That's how it kind of went. Any questions on that, or you just want me to keep going?
just keep going. Oh, man. I don't have any questions so far.
There's a lot to cover, man. I guess I can just maybe hit with some main points.
Some memorable moments.
So maybe
or memorable occurrences.
So maybe memorable occurrences. Again, first day or first evening we had arrived. You know, a few people had come to pick us up and help us get to where we needed to get to. And from that moment, I knew that driving out there is not something that I am keen to do. I was just like, wait, there's no traffic lights. There are no traffic lights. Why have traffic lights when you can employ someone and give them a job where they can do the traffic? That's it. That's how they do it. That's what the police do. They have traffic wardens. They have police that, you know, manage the roads. But honestly, bro, it's chaos. If you drive there thinking that you can use any kind of Western style mindset, it doesn't work. It doesn't chaos. Work. If there's, I thought London driving was bad. Nah. If there's the smallest gap, the moment you see it, it's gone. Because either a bike's taking it, or another car's trying to flip in that way, or somebody's just walking on the road. So you've got to literally have all your blind spots checked at all times. You cannot be sleeping on the wheel. If you sleep on the wheel, it's game over. You're either going to hit someone, and I did see an accident. You're either going to hit someone, or someone's going to hit you, or a bike's going to just come out the way, you're going to veer off and then end up. It's just, there's so many opportunities. If it was like a hazard perception test, you'd just be clicking nonstop.
If you click too many times.
So would you say that the people are really bad drivers, or they're really good drivers?
No, they're extremely good drivers. I think your driving level there has to be at like 10 million for you to really be able to drive. Don't get me wrong, there are people on the road that I would say, okay, they're not that great drivers, but I think just to maneuver around it, it's difficult. Again, you have a big car, you're fine. But if you're on a bike or anything like that, man, honestly, I'm looking at those gaps like they're not fitting through there. They're doing some MotoGP, like leaning to the side. I'm thinking, oh my God, how did they do that? And they kept all the luggage that they had on the bike on the top of their head. How did they not drop? How did they not drop in that? How did they not drop in that? And again, yeah, I guess just another thing. And I don't know whether this is just a mindset or, you know, someone's coming from overseas, so it's like a big deal. Just because it doesn't happen often. So when it does happen, it's like, oh, wow, like, this is a great opportunity and experience, or an experience that I can just have just to be with this person and to, you know, show them around and do this. So when we arrived, again, it's late, tired, and, you know, some really helpful people helped us get to where we needed to get to. And at that point, it was like, cool, I want to shower, eat, and sleep. Because tomorrow is another day. I want to start this early. I've just been traveling like hours right now. I just need to get this off me, sleep, and then I'll be energized for tomorrow. So the people who dropped us off, I was like, you know, thank you so much. They had brought the stuff in. We're chilling. Like, okay, thank you. And then I was like, listen, I need to go to bed. I'll catch you guys. Thank you so much. Left the room, went upstairs to, like, you know, start unwinding. Like, I had taken my suitcase up, and then they were just still there downstairs. And then it had got to the point where, you know, one of the uncles came into the room and was like, yo, are they staying? And I was like, no, they should have left. And he's like, oh, you have to tell them to leave or else they don't go. And I was like, wow. I have to tell them to leave. And I was like, that feels like, I felt like I did that when I said, I'm going to bed. Like,
No. They don't want any of that English subtlety.
No, it doesn't work. You have to be direct. You have to be direct. So I had to go back down and said, yo. And again, this is me, novice at this. First night, you know, I'm still, birds are flying around in my mind. I don't really know what the lingo is, how to do the pattern, how to maneuver, how to move. And I'm just like, yo, I can't sleep if you guys are here. I'm not going to lie. In the most, like, British way, I can't sleep if you guys are here. So you guys are going to have to, like, go so then I can sleep. And they were just like, and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. And then they got up and left. And I was like, wait, was that easy? So I just have to be direct. But it was a good lesson for me to learn, like, first day, okay, I just have to say what it is that I want. And once I do that, it's fine. But yeah, man, that was like first day experience. And then from there, man, again, just interesting and just seeing the different things that we wanted to do. So I think the next thing we went to do was go to see this beach called Number Two Beach, right? And this beach is amazing, bro. It's so beautiful. And this is something that for me just sounds like it's crazy, because I went to the place twice. It was that nice, I had to go twice, Number Two. So as I had got there the first time, you know, actually the idea was just, okay, it's a Sunday, let's just, like, relax, you know, enjoy the sun. We can start doing most things, like, the next days or so, but it's Sunday, let's just chill. So we had arrived. You have to kind of pay a toll just to go inside, but it's really cheap. Again, money conversion there is, like, it makes a difference. It makes a big difference. When the pound converts to the leones, it makes a big difference. So arriving to the beach, you have to kind of pay a toll, and that's kind of how they maintain the beach. They pay people to, like, clean it up, and they have people that cook and everything. So it's actually for a good cause. It's not like just pay the toll because we want your money. And on the beach, man, it's amazing. The beach is crazy. So I don't know how it works, but every day the beach landscape is different, because the ocean that comes in, the tide that comes in, changes the landscape of the beach. So imagine you have the beachfront, which links directly to the water, to the sea, and then in, like, let's say 10, 15, 20 meters ahead inside the sea, there's, like, just patches of islands, little small patches of islands, and then in front of that is, like, the ocean. So it's like, what? So every day you go to that beach, it looks different.
Oh, that's cool.
That for me was just like, whoa. So when I went the second time, I was like, hang on a minute. I was way down there before. Now I'm way up here. Like, the water is, what's going on? And they were like, yeah, it changes every single day. It's never the same beach. That's why it's such a good beach to go to, because every time you go, it's like a different experience. But man, that, you know, the chill idea turned into something absolutely wild. It was just so nice. The food there, the fruits there. Some of the fruits I've never seen in my life. You know, I'm like, what is this? And like, oh, this is an apple. And I'm like, this is not an apple. What are you? An apple that looks like the size of a nut? What you talking about, Willis? But it was like, it was really interesting to just see some of the fruits. And again, me, I'm at that stage where it's like, you know, actually, I just want to try everything. So I was like, yeah, cool. Get this. But everything there is a negotiation. There's no such thing as price tags. There's no such thing as this is the fixed price. Everything there is negotiation. So again, if you've been to a country, again, places like Morocco, I've been to where a similar kind of style. If you're used to negotiating, then you'll be fine. If not, they'll rip you off, but you won't even know. So in that moment, it was like, cool, I'm not trying to like fleece you so you don't make nothing, but also I'm from here, innit. That's what I was trying to give the vibe for. But it was really nice. And then I don't know, man, at some point I started hearing some oldies. They were playing some really old school music, and then a DJ came on and was playing, and I was like, this beach is kind of live, you know. Like, at first I probably arrived at like 2 p.m. it was fine, not many people were there. 5 p.m. came, oh my goodness, you start seeing the groups coming. I was like, hang on a minute, this looks like a whole beach party, what's going on? And then it gets later on tonight, they're playing music, it's all good vibes, people are dancing. And then they have this massive, huge fire in the middle of the sand. And they all dance around the fire.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.